This morning we turn to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, and we'll read chapter 27. It's a long chapter, but we'll read the entirety of it in order to get the full context for our text this morning. Acts chapter 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasse. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished
for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Dear congregation, this morning I want to begin by asking you to do a small mental exercise. It's just a very short fill in the blank. You're not allowed to use your name as your answer. But if you were to fill in this blank, "I am," what would you say? What you put there tells you something about yourself, tells you what you may associate yourself with or attach yourself to. And obviously, I don't know the mental answer you just gave. But this morning, we want to consider the most blessed response to that statement. Our text this morning is Acts 27, verse 23. Where we read Paul saying, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve." And I want to focus especially just on those words, "whose I am." And that will be the focus of our message, but it's also within the context of Lord's Day 1, which you know the question to very well, but I'll reread. Question and answer 1 and 2. "What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready, henceforth, to live unto him." Question and answer 2. "How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, may us live and die happily. Answer three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Our title this morning is Comfort in Belonging. We'll consider recognizing what that comfort in belonging is, understanding how that comfort in belonging is possible, third, desiring a greater comfort in belonging, and then fourth, enjoying that comfort in belonging. First then, recognizing what this comfort is. If we go back to the chapter we read together in Acts 27, Paul is on his way to Rome. He's completed his missionary journeys. He's headed towards Caesar. He's appealed to Caesar. And this voyage then is included in the book of Acts to yes, show where Paul was going, but it's also showing how the gospel has spread. Because if you go back to the beginning of Acts, the gospel's in Jerusalem. And then it spreads to Judea and Samaria, into Asia Minor through Paul's missionary journeys. But you see, now he's going into Italy, to Rome, approaching Europe. The gospel is spreading. There's another journey in Acts. It's very interesting, and that's the journey of Paul's identity. Because as we meet Paul in Acts 7, you know he's an enemy of the church. He's breathing out slaughter. He's a young man consenting to the death of Stephen. In Acts 8, Saul is making havoc in the church. He's known as a persecutor of those who follow the way. But then God stops him and even tells Ananias, this Saul, this Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. And Paul goes preaching. He's a debtor to Christ, an ambassador of reconciliation. And now he's taken prisoner. He's appealed to Caesar. He's on his way to Rome. And yet he says he belongs to God. And it's that belonging that even in this context of this chapter brings Paul much comfort. You imagine the moment that we read about. He's in a ship with over 200 others. The days of ongoing storm. They haven't eaten for 14 days. All hope's evaporated. Everyone's giving up. The sailors are trying to escape the ship. Paul's surrounded by soldiers who don't listen to him. He's imagining what lays ahead. It's trial in front of Caesar. And yet, notice how Paul stands up and encourages the men because of what God has said to him. And I trust you notice how positive he is. He says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Wherefore, good sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And you notice immediately then where Paul's comfort was not. He's standing up in front of these soldiers and these sailors, and he's not saying, you need to listen to me, I was a Pharisee. No. It's not in his accomplishments. It's not in his three missionary journeys. He doesn't say to them, I've traveled this sea three times already. No. It's not listen to me because I've appealed to Caesar and Agrippa believes me. No. It's not trying to get away. He stands there as an ambassador, still as an ambassador, because he stands even in this moment as an ambassador of his God, and he finds his comfort then in belonging to God. Our text says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. He's not saying he belongs to the angel. He doesn't find comfort even in the angel. He belongs to the God who sent the angel. He belongs to that same God. I belong to God. You imagine you were in that boat that day with Paul and sailors and soldiers, surrounded by these same rough characters, strong men. What would you have said? Would you have said, "Be of good cheer, I believe God"? And he said, "We'll get through." Or would the human impulse rise up in you and say, "Come on, if we work together as a team, we can do this. We can get through this. We can beat this storm. I'm not going to let this water beat me down. Everybody, listen to me. I've sailed this sea many times. I've made this same journey. I've been in worse storms. We can do it." See, then our comfort's in our pride, our ability, our teamwork, maybe our experience. You can easily imagine some of those sailors there that day thinking some of these thoughts. You know, we belong to the biggest fleet in the Mediterranean. We have the strongest ships. But you see, then it's comfort in belonging to a group, an organization, a business. And if you thought that, if that's where your attachment was, you'd be devastated. Because you know the history, the ship's broken up, there's pieces scattered all about, it's abandoned on the rocks. Teamwork dissolved because some could swim, some grabbed boards, some sailors escaping in a boat, soldiers being rebuked by their centurion. There's no comfort in belonging to a ship that gets broken up on the sea. There's no comfort actually in belonging to the business that holds the accounts. Because what did happen? The wheat had to go overboard. All the tack had to go overboard. All the supplies had to go overboard. They had to lighten the ship. If you were finding comfort in that account, this ship was so fully laden of goods that were going to be sold, it's gone. Paul couldn't even find comfort in the soldiers who were there to protect him. Because at the end of the chapter, they wanted to kill him. And so as he stands up that day, in this ship, in the storm, what he says is so true, so profound, so rock solid. What is his only comfort? I am God's. I belong to God. And that's what our catechism's asking. What is your only comfort? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul's statement that he belongs to God is not a contradiction to the catechism statement that we belong to Christ. Because Paul himself taught the Corinthians most clearly, ye are Christ's and Christ is God's. And both of them mean you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. If you're a believer here this morning, your allegiance is not to your job or even primarily to your children or to your spouse. You can't even say, I am my own boss. Because you do not belong to yourself. And that should bring us comfort, because if our value is not in ourself, it's not in our career. You know, so often we attach ourselves to our work and we think our work is what makes us valuable. It brings us a sense of purpose, comfort, stability. But you see from this chapter how work can be shattered. If someone criticizes your work, then you're devastated. Imagine Paul here that day. His work wasn't over. He was still testifying. But you see, he didn't attach even his own worth, his own sense of purpose, his own comfort to his work. He's not crushed or angry when they don't listen to him. If you asked Paul that day, why not, Paul? He would have told you, I belong to God. I serve him. I am not my own. And Calvin called this the self-denial. This is the sum of the Christian life. This self-denial should be a comfort because you don't belong to yourself. You don't need to find identity in yourself. Then you can be 5 or 95. Be the lowest level employee or the owner of a business empire. Your identification, your comfort, your stability shouldn't be there. You need to find comfort and belonging to the faithful Savior. But you realize, even as Paul says this, and as the Catechism says this, my only comfort is that I do belong to my faithful Savior. You realize no person deserves this. And how is it possible then? Well, that's our second thought, understanding how it is possible. We want to consider this in two ways. We'll consider first how it's possible doctrinally. We don't need to move away from Paul to understand this. Already at Paul's conversion, God told Ananias, go to the street that's called Straight. There's a man who's going to be there. He's Paul. And he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. You see, God has chosen people to belong to him. And our comfort and belonging then is possible because God has chosen people. You asked, if you could have asked Paul that day on the ship how this was possible doctrinally, how sinners, persecutors could be chosen and get new identities, Paul would have been able to tell you. Because he's already written to the Corinthians. Do you not know you are bought with a price? You are not your own. And what is that price? Well, Christ has paid that price. So as our catechism says, it's my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, with his precious blood. The reason we can find comfort and belonging is because Jesus Christ has come. He died and lives again. So much so you consider what Paul's told the Roman church. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Your believer here this morning, his death means your sins are forgiven in him. His death means you are now reconciled to God through him. His death means you can have eternal hope through him. His death means you can have union with him. His death means, yes, you can find comfort in belonging to him. This is the gospel. You are a great sinner. You don't deserve any comfort and belonging. But he has come. He has chosen. He sent his son to earn this so that everyone who looks to him can find comfort in belonging to him. And you consider what Paul's written to the church in Ephesus. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What he says to the Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What he says to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Nothing else in life is that certain. Nowhere else should there be such a comfort. And Paul knows this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We might add now, or shipwreck? No. He is mine, and I am his. How can that be said? Well, that's how why we'll consider how this comfort is possible personally. Because it's not just a doctrinal truth that is out there. No, it's not just true for Paul. It's not just true for those in church history. It needs to become true for you and me. How? How can we find this comfort and belonging? Well, question two asks, how many things are necessary for you to know that you enjoying this comfort can live and die happily? The answer is three. You know the basic breakdown. First, how great my sins and miseries are. Second, how I may be delivered from these sins and miseries. And third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Do you know these three things? You might ask this morning, well, how can I know these three things? Yes, it's through the work of the Spirit. And if you know these three things, it's because the Spirit's revealed them to you. It's God's grace to you. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that's why if these things have become real to you this morning, you need to realize that the gift they are from God. It's the gift of grace, it's the gift of faith to see. And notice how simple the answer is given. How many things are necessary? Three. Your sins, how you can be delivered, how you need to express gratitude for that deliverance. You see, these three things are not complicated. It's not true that you're only saved if you have complicated experiences of these three things. No, you can live with comfort. Even if you know these three things in a simple childlike way. But you see, it's still real then. It's real sin that you see. It's real deliverance that you need. It's real gratitude that you want to live out. And then it's being justified by faith that you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And then when you see the Lord Jesus, you realize my comfort is not in myself. My comfort is belonging to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you realize that this comfort and belonging is not just a theoretical thing, because it becomes very relevant to your life now, today. You might ask why or how. You finally realize that you weren't just made by God, but your entire person belongs to God. Not just your soul, not just after death, but body and soul in life and death. You belong to your faithful Savior, body and soul, in this life and in death. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so what is your only comfort? It's a diagnostic question.
It's a tool that helps us discern, am I living with comfort? Do I know what I need to know this comfort?
But it also means that the second question about misery, deliverance, and gratitude is not so much a grid for examining other people. It's an answer to question two, how many things are necessary for you to enjoy this comfort and then live happily and die happily? You see, even our knowledge of misery and deliverance and gratitude is to be for our comfort, so that we can enjoy this comfort, so that we can go out this week and live happily, so that we can go out and, yes, even die happily. And then it's so personal again. Do I know this? Am I able to say I can enjoy this comfort of belonging to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? Because only then can you have the same confidence that Paul had. Even though I may suffer and hurt and be discouraged and be surrounded by people who have given up all hope, they can accuse me, they can question me, they can wonder about me. But as Paul says, once he's in Rome, writing one of his last letters, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. His comfort and belonging, yes, kept him through this storm, but it stayed with him even as he was in Rome, even as he was under house arrest. I've considered briefly what this comfort is and how it's possible. It's possible doctrinally, yes. It is possible through God's Spirit personally. But the challenge for believers is, if we're honest, we do not live in this comfort the way we should. We're too content with less than this comfort. We should stop and just realize the comfort of belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We should enjoy this more. Bask in it, relish it, desire it. But we're so content with much less than this. How can we learn to deny ourselves and find much more comfort in this belonging? Well, that's our third thought. We'll look to Paul for this help, because there is help in greater comfort. I want to give you six ways this morning to grow this comfort and belonging, not to yourself, but to Jesus Christ. Number one is, when we focus on our comfort and belonging to God, we will not live according to our own will and reason. We will not live according to our own will and reason. So sometimes we think that comes up in our minds is right. We think it came into my mind, it's going to happen. And we don't listen to God. And we could often work ourselves into a frenzy if we never listened to God. We could work ourselves into a frenzy because we're so discouraged that everyone around us is not listening to us or to God. You know, even in this chapter, Paul told them not to sail, and they sailed, and they came into the storm. Rather than saying,
You know, my worst fears have come true. We're all going to die. Paul didn't listen to his own will, his own reason, because he told them they should have listened still. But his ears were still open, so that when the angel of God came, he heard it. Now, we shouldn't expect to hear angels or voices, but we have his word. And we need to listen to this word more. Stop listening to our own reason. Listen to God. Our comfort can grow. Second, when we focus on our comfort in belonging to God, we will believe God's promises and fear placing our hope on temporal things. We'll realize that temporal things are just temporal. Consider Paul in our text. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Paul didn't say, I believe in God, or I believe at God. Said, I believe God. Believe his promises. And third, when we focus on our comfort in belonging to God, we'll devote our zeal to God and deny ourselves. Devoting our energy to his service and not to our own. You imagine Paul on the ship with Luke and others, but Luke was the only one with Aristarchus who was, in a sense, friendly. Might add Julius. But you see these sailors and these soldiers around him weren't his friends. And why would Paul stand up here and speak of God? Did it help his reputation? Did it help his case? Probably not. But you see, this is the truth that Paul was zealous about, the truth that he was an ambassador of. And so even as he stands up in front of these soldiers that day, he devotes his zeal to God, denies himself. We must not deny God. And then fourth, when we focus on our comfort in belonging to God, we will seek grace and pursue sober and upright and godly lives. And that's much more could be said about this, but consider how Paul, this day, was living as a sober, upright, and a godly example here. I believe God. Because I believe God, we have this promise. Because I believe God, I want you to eat today so you will have the health and the energy to go through this. Follow my example. And Paul eats first. And we read they followed his example. He's an example of faithful living, even in this. And then fifth, when we focus on our comfort and belonging to God, we will remember whose we are. You know, here's the refrain from this morning's message. If you remember nothing else, this is Paul's song, you might say, I am God's. And he will take care of everything that he owns. How much is he in control over? Paul says, even the hairs of your head. You know, they're in a storm. There's a lot of things going on. But even in that storm, the very hairs of their head are in his control. There's not anything that's a part of your life that he doesn't know, that is not under his control. And you see, when we remember whose we are and who has the control, we will live for him
And then sixthly, when we focus on our comfort and belonging to God, we live unto Him by properly helping our neighbors. Notice how Paul does this. There's a few examples here, but just point out, why did Paul try and stop those sailors from leaving the ship? God had said only those who sailed with Paul would be saved. Paul wanted these sailors to be safe too, and he knows if they escape in this little boat into the Mediterranean Sea, they're not going to be safer than if they stay here with him. And he wants them, these rough sailors, to be safe. He loves his neighbor as himself. And you see, there's more that could be added to this list, but when we listen to God, when we believe his promises, when we don't deny him before men, when we live as an example of faith, when we live for God and not ourselves, and when we love our neighbors as ourselves, our comfort and belonging will grow. How? Because every day, you will realize that I, with my life, my body and soul, in life and in death, am not my own. I belong to God. He can do what pleases Him. I trust Him. He's my Heavenly Father. He's my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, yes, died for me, and I will live for Him. And if you don't know this desire for this comfort, you don't know this belonging, you need to pray, cry out for this. And if you struggle with it and say, I know a little bit, but I want more, you pray for a growing desire, pray for greater comfort, pray for a real desire, and yes, comfort that will last, not just today or this week, but it will last until the day you die. Because He is the God who can provide even greater comfort. And then we can really enjoy it. Our fourth thought is that this comfort in belonging can be enjoyed. It comes from question two, which asks, how can you enjoy this? It's when we can enjoy that comfort and belonging to Him that He increases and I decrease. Yes, my comfort may increase, my enjoyment may increase, but it's not because of me at all. It's because Jesus Christ is exalted. We realize what it means to belong to Him, because He is the faithful one, He is the certain one. He's the one who cannot change. Then you see, we can and should enjoy this comfort, because He, the faithful Savior Jesus Christ, has satisfied for all my sins. Yes, I need to know how real my sins are, how very real they are, so that you might feel like the greatest of sinners. But Paul himself said, I am the chief of sinners, and yet he says here, I belong to Him. Jesus Christ has really satisfied for my sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when I realize He has done that for me, I can enjoy this comfort. I can enjoy this comfort because I realize also that Jesus Christ has delivered me from the power of the devil. This should comfort me. So I'm faced with temptation
or the providences of life seem so negative, I must realize that God is in control. Satan is not in control. Paul writes to the Corinthians earlier, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. I can be a prisoner. I can be on my way to Nero. I can spend 2 years under house arrest. But God is faithful. I still belong to Him. Nero's not going to win. The devil's not going to win. Because you know, even when Paul dies, he's learned more about his Savior. He's closer to his Savior. He realizes his comfort is in his faithful Savior. We can enjoy this comfort also because Jesus Christ preserves us. You notice how this comes through the narrative that we read, but it's stated so explicitly. Jesus Christ preserves me, that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. At a small scale, that should bring us comfort when we do lose hair. But you see, at a much larger scale, a grand scale, you can be shipwrecked on your way to facing Caesar with soldiers who want to kill you. And you can stand there and say, this is within the control of my Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ, who I belong to, will preserve me. And then you can enjoy that. You can enjoy the comfort that Jesus Christ has so loved you that all things must be subservient to your salvation. What does that mean? Well, all things that happen are working for your salvation, the reason of your salvation. Not just the first moment of justification, but you see, your ongoing salvation, God bringing you to glory. And then you think of Paul. He's been trained as a Pharisee on the road to Damascus, struck with blindness, living with a thorn in his flesh, going through reconciliation of broken friendships, now on a ship to Rome, saying, I belong to God. All these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Then, like Paul, I can find comfort in that. Because there's even a greater comfort. Because the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, assures me of eternal life. I don't know how much you know about Nero, but he was a scary man. Wielded a very strong sword. No one could come in his way. Not even his own family. Do you realize as Paul's traveling to Rome, he doesn't try to escape. He doesn't try to make excuses to not go on. Because he knows even if he dies at the hand of Nero, Jesus Christ has assured him of eternal life. Rome is not something terrible to be avoided. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You can find comfort in that. If you belong to Christ. And then until that day, you can, till the day you die, you can find comfort in belonging. Because there's always something to do. As the Catechism says, Jesus Christ makes me sincerely willing and ready to live for Him. Do you see, this is comfort in belonging, because I don't have to wonder what or who I belong to anymore, what I'm supposed to be doing. Paul's captive on a ship, and yet he finds purpose and opportunity to stand up in the midst of all those and say, I believe God. I belong to God. I am a slave, a servant of the Lord God. And you see, then Paul's purpose hasn't changed for the 25 years. He worked as a minister, missionary. From that first day, he went back to Damascus. To this day, when he's traveling to Rome, his purpose is the same. He doesn't need to come up with anything new to impress these soldiers. He doesn't have to improve his pedigree or his travelogue or speak of his time in Athens or in Corinth or Jerusalem. No. Here's the same banner, same refrain, the same song. God, whose I am. God, whose I am. You can think of it this way. Even as Paul was approaching his final years, and he looked back, as it were, on his early life, he was still focused on the same truth. I am His. I am an ambassador of Him. I am a servant of Him. I am a slave of Him. I belong to Him. Time doesn't change that. Experience doesn't change that. Trials don't change that. It's one of the reasons. That focus is one of the reasons we keep going through the Catechism. Not reinventing, but remembering. Remembering the truth, the faith delivered to the saints, keeping focused on eternal truths, even keeping, yes, your pastors grounded in these eternal truths. Still emphasizing how we are great sinners and, yes, how Christ is a greater Savior. But also continually pointing to this truth. Your only comfort in life and death is that you belong to the faithful Savior. It reminds believers of that year by year. You are not your own. It exhorts unbelievers to find their comfort here year by year, because you will not find your comfort anywhere else. But you see, as Paul's standing there in the ship that day, you know, he's going up and down with the waves. He stands up in that ship and he addresses these soldiers and sailors and says, God, whose I am. He's not doing it just for his own comfort. No, as he stands up that day, he's witnessing to all the afraid others that they need this comfort too. They need the same strength that Paul has as he can stand there and say that. They need the same belonging that Paul has so they can stand there just as calm and just as resolved as Paul, and they can say that. Because look at Paul. You can find comfort and belonging. You must find this comfort and belonging. It's the only comfort that's going to keep you through all the storms. It will never end. It will never fail. It will never change. So that even as you struggle and even as you sin, This comfort says you can come back in repentance and say, I belong to my faithful Savior. Even when you begin to reach for the comforts of this life, you're reminded, I have a greater purpose, greater comfort. Even when you're worried about spiritual ups and downs, you're reminded God sees you in Christ and not as you are. And then, when you think about dying, you realize even death has no power over you. You should not be scared. We may be scared, but we should not be. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 14, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Hear that hint of triumph? It's not in belonging to myself. We are the Lord's. No fighting, no agonies, no complaints of this life can take it away. It's a greater comfort than the breadth of the sea. It's a comfort that transcends every culture and language. I am not my own. We are the Lord's. And you see, if you go back to the first question, that it's not, I am a pastor, or I'm a mother, or I'm a teacher, or I'm pro-life, or I am conservative, or I am hardworking, or I am blessed, or I am independent, or I'm experienced, or I'm respected. The list can continue. Paul could have said many of these same things. But he said, God, whose I am, and whom I serve. I belong to God. I will serve Him. There is comfort so that I can stand up in the greatest storms of life and put my trust, my dependence, my rest, my hope in Him. And then I know comfort. And then I am blessed indeed. May God bless His word. Let's pray. Lord, please, by Thy Spirit, teach each one here the need for this comfort, the possibility of this comfort in Christ, a greater desire to live by faith in this comfort. And then, yes, even, Lord, to enjoy this comfort and belonging to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Please teach us what's necessary to enjoy this fully. And please keep us from depending or reaching even for other comforts. May today be a day of worship that teaches us, even in a small way, how precious this comfort is. May it resolve us to lean more heavily on Thee every day. Please bless the rest of our worship. Bless the instruction in catechism class and family living class. And please bring us together again for continued worship later today. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.